welcome mystery maniacs to an all new experiment in terror. And it is the Mystery Machine Diaries, a podcast / video cast. What do the kids call it?
Video vlog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Sure.
We're trying something new. I am your ghost host, Brad, and I am joined at the hip, sometimes more, by a pup named
Chris.
And now you can see us. And I apologize in advance for how any of this goes because of our meddling producer, Daniel, who decided that people might want to see what we look like. So here we are.
And we listen to him.
Yes.
Jinkies!
He's part of it. And he also has a microphone now, I think. Don't you, producer Daniel?
Yes, oh. I do.
Yeah.
I'm on mute a lot of times, but
smooth
I do.
Smooth jazz. From
I thought that was just the disembodied voice of the house ghost.
Well,
sometimes I sleep in the walls.
Oh, little call a man, little call me.
Well, I need the rent. All right. And this is a podcast dedicated to the TV series Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. Each week we dissect, we take it apart and put it back together again, episodes of one of our favorite cartoons.
Yep. We talk about Scooby-Doo's, other goings-ons.
You know,
we have a couple of other features here and there.
Okay, we'll be trying all sorts of new stuff.
That's right.
Welcome to my gracious living room. If you can see behind, I don't know what you can see yet, but there's stuff behind me. Yes, it's my Scooby-Doo stuff.
The Scooby mantle all set up.
And I'm sure some of you write in, oh, you don't have this or that. I know.
Send it to them.
Yeah, or, yeah. You know, pay for the podcast. We are here trying something brand new, like we said, but we are way deep into episode 11 of the Mystery Machine Diaries.
Getting pretty far into this show at this point.
And yeah. Before we get there, though, there's something we have to talk about.
What's that?
Something that happened earlier this week. Y'all may have seen it.
Starts with an S. Ends with an exclamation mark.
Does.
It's Scoob.
Scoob. The trailer dropped. The teaser trailer for the brand new Scooby-Doo movie.
It's a pretty long trailer for a teaser.
For a teaser. Yeah.
It's a normal trailer. They're calling it a teaser.
Teaser.
It's a trailer.
It does tease me, though. It does tease me.
Yeah.
All right. First impressions, Christopher.
Adorable. So cute. Super cute. Yeah.
I'll agree to that. The computer-generated animation looks really, really good, really smooth.
It looks very slick. My only complaint so far about the animation is sometimes it looked like some of the backdrops and stuff were a little too real. You know what I mean?
Living in the Scooby universe, we're not used to real backdrops.
Yeah,
we're used to painted backdrops that don't move.
I don't want them to look like cartoon characters. I don't want them too realistic.
Well, all right.
But I do think the character design is very cute, especially we see little puppy Scooby.
Little puppy Scooby-Doo. Basically, we see how Shaggy and Scooby meet.
Mm-hmm.
They're creating their own continuity here, another Scooby-Dooniverse.
It's a complete reworking of the origins of the Scooby-Dooniverse, it would appear. Yeah.
And we hear how Scooby gets his name and all sorts of fun things, and we see him get
his
collar.
So cute. It's very sweet.
Someone teared up when he watched it.
I choked up a little bit. It was so cute.
It was very cute.
It's like such a moment.
And it looks like they have to save the world from the trailer.
It seems like par for the course.
Yeah. What are you going to do? There's cute little robots. Also, one of my favorite things is when they're Mr. Ink is little kids.
Halloween. They're out trick-or-treating. And
Daphne is who?
Daphne is Wonder Woman.
She sure
totes
is.
Totes adorbs. Velma is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Is that who she is?
I don't know. She's in like a judge outfit, like the robe and the frilly collar. So I'm going with RBG.
All right.
Yeah.
And you didn't notice this.
Fred is a knight. He's a really cool like suit of armor.
He didn't notice that Scooby and Shaggy were dressed as Dino Mutt and Blue Falcon.
Well, and as soon as you pointed it out,
who'd you think they were?
I don't know. I just didn't register the first time. Oh. Just like, oh, they're in cute costumes. Like, I don't know, the superhero duo. I don't know. I just wasn't paying that close attention, guys. I'm sorry.
This will be a theme throughout. But I thought it was cute. It's weird, the voices, Zac Efron.
It is weird that the voices
and,
are different.
Yeah. The whole new voice cast.
Except for Scooby. Who sounds like Scooby. He sounds like Scooby as everyone else gets little kid voices when they're little kids, and then the like famous actor voices when they're
Frank Walker
all grown up. Yeah. But Scooby's got the same voice as a puppy as he does when he's grown up, which bothers me a little bit.
He was also bothered by the fact that Scooby talks a lot.
He does seem to be very talkative. Maybe it's not that he's so talkative, it's that he's so articulate. He's very easy to understand. Not every letter is an R, or every word doesn't begin with an R. Like, he can pronounce his L's and stuff now. I don't know. It's weird.
It's a new world out there.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. You have to be able to understand him. You can't subtitle a kid's movie. Like, you shouldn't have to.
We could try.
You could try, but you shouldn't have to. So I understand.
We could get Werner Herzog in here. We watched The Mandalorian, side podcast. But yeah, it was cute, and we have to wait until the summer?
Is it that far out?
It's
all right, well.
Far.
Yeah.
We discussed this. I didn't know why they didn't plan it to coincide with his 50th anniversary.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But so far, so good.
Yeah, it looks good.
Let us know what you guys think.
If you haven't seen the trailer, go watch the trailer.
It's everywhere. It's on.
It's on the tubes.
Speaking of, where can they find us, by the way?
Oh yeah, we should probably plug our whole thing that we do. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Mystery Machine Diaries. You can find us on Instagram at Mystery Machine Diaries. And you can find the podcast, or now video cast, at Apple Podcasts.
We're looking at Daniel.
Anchor.fm.
Facebook.
Spotify.
You guys will be able to see us only on Facebook, but the
only
audio
on Facebook.
The audio will be on Apple, Spotify, everything.
So some people won't be able to see us.
So we recommend that if you're listening to us, switch over to the video, because you're going to see some cool things as we go along.
That's true. We're going to have visual references, not just the audio cues.
Daniel's pulling out all the stops.
If you're listening to us on your commute, which is how I listen to most of my podcasts, don't switch to the video. Go ahead and just stick with the audio, please.
Stick with what you know.
Yeah.
But when you get home,
you can rewatch.
That's true.
With the amazing video production.
You could watch it on YouTube on your big screen TV.
Sure, yeah, you could totally do that.
That sounds terrible.
On your phone or other mobile device.
Your watch.
Your tablet. Your...
et cetera.
Smart glasses.
Your VR.
Yeah, your
PSVR,
Oculus Rift.
Your Oculus Rift.
Headset thing. Yeah, sure.
I entered to win some of those today.
Oh, nice.
I know, so maybe,
good luck.
Well, I know.
That'd be cool. Maybe we could have a VR Scooby-Doo hangout eventually.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a thing.
Daniel, is that a thing?
Yeah,
he shakes his head.
We're
yes.
Gonna do it. We're going to do that. Cool.
We're going to try. We'll see what happens.
We're nothing if not experimental here.
But let us know if you have VR and tell us on Facebook.
There is no try. And on that note, let's get to the episode.
Yeah.
Do we have any other Scooby news?
You know, that is enough Scooby news for one day.
Yeah, I think that's all we need.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, that's the big news, is the Scooby-Doo trailer. Scoob trailer, excuse me.
Yeah. Get it right. Get it together. We'll be taking applications online for new co-hosts, so if you want to send me videos, that'd be great.
Oh, there you go. You could, like, video audition for my spot. That's a fun contest.
So quick to drop your
gig. I'm just easily excitable.
All right. So hop in the Mystery Machine with us, and we're going to go back in time to 2010, October 2010. So Halloween time, and it's episode 11 of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. The episode is called The Secret Serum.
Ooh.
Sounds like a... what do you call it? Those
beauty regimen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Secret skincare regimen.
I'm expecting Victoria Principal to be selling it on the TV.
That does sound like the headline of like a Vogue article. The Secret Serum. 5 tips to rejuvenating your skin. You won't believe number five.
There were 5. Good job.
Look
pal.
At that.
Good job, pal. So we are episode 11. We just came back from a pretty groundbreaking episode that we all liked. And now, forewarning, spoiler warning, I didn't really care a lot for this
episode. Yeah, we're coming down from the high of the last episode, guys, just so you know.
But we're going to give it our all.
We're going to get through it.
We're going to Scooby-Doo it, as Chris likes to say,
that's right.
All too often.
That's right.
So basically, in a nutshell, the episode is about a vampire who strikes a charity ball, and we go from there.
Yeah. So she kind of reminds me of a cross between Mobius, the living vampire, and Morticia. Morbius, the living vampire.
Reminds me of Moby in the East Village in 1998.
Halfway between Moby and Morbius, the living vampire.
Kind of.
With a sprinkling of Elvira, or yeah, maybe Elvira or Morticia a little bit.
If you're really old like me, she looks like the chick from the first Star Trek movie who is bald. I don't know her. Oh, well. It's a bald vampire chick who flies around, allegedly. But we open up at an auction, and
charity auction.
It's charity
run
auction
by Daphne's mom.
Her name is Nan.
Nan, run by Nan.
Sure. Nan and her friend Sheila are auctioning off a bunch of stuff. They've made $35 whole. First we see that some guy has won roller derby seats for
front
their
ringside tickets
ringside.
For the Crystal Cove roller derby team. Which I've never been to roller derby, and I would love to go. It looks
like
a lot of
you,
fun.
I've told you we should go.
I know, we should go. I can't imagine it's like difficult to get tickets too. So, I mean, auctioning off tickets, you know, it's...
Well, that's why they've only made $35.
True.
And if you look at the roller derby chick, we'll post a picture.
She skates away. She, like,
tackles
and
the guy.
Picks up the guy who won and
skates
away
out.
Him, which, honestly, I would pay for that.
That's worth $35.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
And she looks a lot like Harley Quinn.
Oh, she kind of does.
I'll put her picture up on the Facebook Insta. Because I didn't forewarn producer Daniel about that visual, because apparently we're going to have some visuals that will
Can we have a sparkle white. Effect when I do that every time?
Can we not? Thank you, Daniel. Thank
He's saying
you.
No, but I'm going to keep doing it.
The next thing up for auction is a scary painting.
A spooky painting. Which, that's like the only info we get about the painting, too. They don't tell us the artist. They don't really tell us
the
subject.
Painting?
They're just
awesome.
Like, next up, a spooky painting.
And it is a spooky painting.
It's a spooky house on a spooky hill.
And the moon, and there's trees, and there's a chick standing in front of there.
Spooky.
And no one wants it. I would pay $5 for this painting.
I mean,
least.
You'd
it's
expect
a spooky
like any
painting.
Piece of art at a auction is going to be, you know, hundreds if not thousands of dollars, but no one wants it. They're literally asking for like $5. Absolutely, I would pay $5 for this. Yeah.
And someone who's in the audience that I don't think you noticed.
Probably not.
But I did. Is a very famous pop singer from many years ago in the 60s. It was Cass Elliot.
Oh, I did miss that.
Cass Elliot appeared previously on the Scooby-Doo movies.
Yes, I knew that she was.
And she had a candy factory. She had a haunted candy factory.
That's awesome.
Mama Cass was a singer for the Mamas and the Papas,
mm-hmm.
and then she
I'm
had
familiar.
she had a solo career,
mm-hmm.
and sadly she did pass away. Insert your own Mama Cass story.
Rest in peace, Mama Cass.
That's right. And they did a little homage to her, and she looks just like she did. Same outfit that she's wearing in the Scooby-Doo movies where she first appears.
That's fun. That's cute.
Which, one of the biggest reasons I love this show is they just dig deep.
The callbacks. The references. Yeah, it's great.
And it's really cool. It's really cool. Yeah. And we may see her again.
I hope so.
I don't think she'll speak, though, but we'll see her again. And someone else we saw that we'll mention later.
Did notice this one, the gentleman who brings the painting up. Right?
I guess we'll mention it now.
Oh, well. I mean,
no, who was it?
I mean, it's Don Knotts.
Oh, producer Daniel wasn't ready for that.
Of Knott's Berry Farm fame.
That's not where he's from.
I'm just kidding. I know. He was on the TV.
What was he on?
Oh, geez. I don't. Three's Company?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
one
he
thing
was on
he was
Three's
on.
Company.
Yeah, it was
he
Mr.
On,
Furley.
He
yeah.
was.
Where did he get famous?
Yeah, before that, though.
You're on video now.
Jeez Louise.
Doug.
The show Doug?
Yes, he was.
Doug?
He was the principal on Doug.
Don Knotts?
Yes, he was.
I didn't even know that.
He was in The Ghost of Mr. Chicken?
Yeah.
And don't forget Andy Griffith.
Was he in that?
No.
Andy Griffith.
Yes, Andy Griffith. The Andy Griffith
that,
shows
okay,
where he
that's,
goes.
That's the one that I was trying to come up. Right.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say something else really embarrassing.
Also, plug for Disney Plus for no reason. Disney Plus just came out this week. Doug's on there, isn't it? You can watch.
No, that's Nickelodeon.
Is that Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Netflix just bought that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you can watch Don Knotts and the Apple Dumpling Gang movies.
You could probably watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on Disney Plus.
Film,
oh, is it? It's not
or
Disney?
Or a Fox film.
Jeez, I'm way off.
Once again, our Facebook address is the Mystery Machine Diaries, and you all have cell phones. You can all make a cool video of why you should be my co-host.
This is a podcast about Scooby-Doo, not Don Knotts, so I think
They
kind of
go
okay.
hand in hand.
I guess.
He's even in the video game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's
oh,
in the PS2 video game.
What else has he done?
He's in lots of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what else, like, what other famous things from the, like, where?
He did a movie called The Private Eyes with Tim Conway. He's in lots and lots and lots of
okay.
things. Loved Don Knotts, passed away.
I guess I could Google it.
Might be worth the Google. Anyway, back to the show, kids. Don Knotts does bring out the painting, and no one wants the painting, but someone does. A freaky vampire chick.
Vampirella shows up,
and
swooping all over the place.
She's hopping. She's doing parkour all around the auction place, and she steals the painting.
She sure does. Well, she hits the lights, and then when the lights come
someone
back up,
to.
she's gone, and the painting is gone. Although they jump on the vampire thing really quickly. I mean, I guess she's kind of creature of the night-y, but she's not, like, bitten anyone or anything.
Well, she had pointy ears and teeth, and she had a vampire-y outfit on.
I guess.
Anyone could be a vampire.
Sure.
If they try hard enough.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a pretty thin line between just, like, crazy goth lady and vampire. But they
especially
jump on vampire
Crystal
pretty
Cove.
Quick. Yeah, they jump on.
They have a whole vampire restaurant.
Yeah.
So maybe she's their
oh,
mascot.
So I guess they do know they're vampires.
They do. And, you know, she was a vampire. Cut to the credits. And here
opening
we go.
Credits.
We're ready for our newest Scooby adventure.
We finally see the gang. And they are hanging out in Daphne's pool.
They're not in Daphne's pool. Once again.
Whose pool are they in?
Mystery Machine Diaries, Facebook, Instagram.
Oh, my God.
They're at Shaggy's palatial estate.
I thought they were Daphne. Well, then why does Daphne's mom show up?
I apologize. I will now be quitting the show because he was right. It is indeed the Blake estate.
He mentioned Daphne. I have
one of those lavalier mics. I'd throw it down and walk off.
Zoinks! Shaggy says something about hanging out in the grotto of Daphne's palatial estate.
All right.
So
I apologize.
They're hanging out in the grotto. Shaggy, they're drinking, they're having drinks. Scooby's got his sunglasses on, looking all cool in his pool floaty. And Shaggy says something about
what's
little umbrellas.
He's looking,
you know,
all cool in his pool floaty.
Tiny umbrellas make every drink better, is his comment.
So are they drinking?
Scooby's like all over that. Like, hell yeah.
Drinking?
You can put a tiny umbrella in a glass of fruit juice. It could be fruit cocktail. It doesn't have to be a cocktail.
All right. Fred's talking about how he would trap something if it was in the pool.
Hey, Daphne, if you had a pool monster, you want to know how I'd trap it? No. Can we do this later? I'd pour cement in the pool, and it would quick dry. Bam, trap. Yeah, got it. Nailed it. Go
and
he's
good
got
friend,
his ascot on with his board shorts.
He
he's
does.
Not wearing a shirt. It's
good and our good friend Velma comes out in a bikini, but she says she has a bikini on, but she's still wearing her turtleneck because she doesn't want to get skin cancer.
She makes a real, like,
it's a good PSA.
Hail Mary last-ditch effort pass at Shaggy that just kind of smacks of desperation. She's hey,
yeah.
Shaggy, how do you like my bikini? And she's wearing the turtleneck. And so, A, he's confused because it doesn't look like she's wearing a bikini. And B, like, why are you hitting on him now? Like, they just broke up.
They just broke up.
And it's this weird dynamic of...
Maybe she should just give it up.
Yeah.
She should really...
I don't know why she's so into him. Because he's, like, it's never reciprocated.
Because it's familiar.
Yeah,
she's a teenage girl. It's familiar, and we'll find out why later on. You know, a few episodes down the line, she's going through some stuff.
Yeah, no, I know, but
you know,
I don't know. It's not a good look for her.
No,
the bikini or the weird
the non bikini that she's wearing.
Yeah,
and Fred says she'd be great for the trap because of her pasty white skin could blind the monster.
Yeah. Yeah, and Daphne's like, Fred. Like, yeah, Fred's a jerk in this episode.
He's just not.
Well, he's as much of a jerk as he ever is. He's incredibly clueless. He puts his foot in his mouth a bunch of times. He's a cad. This whole
he
episode.
He is a cad.
Yeah.
That's a good.
Yeah.
That's a good term. All right. Fair enough. While they're poolside, Nan Blake comes in and they hear about the art theft.
I love it. She says, I'm so steamed about my charity auction. They're like, oh, what happened? A vampire crashed it and ruined everything. It's like, I love her reaction. She's like, I'm so steamed. The vampire attacked my friends. Like,
well,
as if this is par for the course. Which,
once
I mean,
again,
I guess it is in Crystal Cove.
Crystal Cove.
Right.
It's what they do.
It's just like that juxtaposition of playing down a vampire attack. It's funny to me.
Another Buffy Sunnydale.
Yes, very.
Vampires are an everyday thing in their town. And I don't think she believes it's a vampire. She's too smart for that. I think.
Yeah,
she's
that's
just
true.
Like, ah, great now.
Well, Fred's all excited because now there's a mystery.
Yes, there is, and the gang want to split up already. They said, let's split up.
Well, Velma said, you know, I'm not solving any mystery if he's going to be there, pointing to Shaggy.
Straight people, I won't get it.
Well, she was just hitting on him.
Yeah.
And then, oh, there's a line, you know, Fred's like, you know, you can set your milky white skin to stun, Velma. And Daphne's like, dude, Fred, shut up. And Velma's like, no, it's okay. I don't care what Fred thinks, and glares at Shaggy. So she's gone from weird pickup lines to like weird passive aggressive insults.
That's great.
Yeah. And then, which, you know, I understand that. Game recognizes game. I get that one.
Wow.
And then,
worked in there.
and then it's
for the kids.
And then they got to go get in the
Daphne,
van and solve the mystery.
Daphne doesn't want to go because she wants to support Velma.
Well, Fred says they can't split up because you have to wait till you get to a haunted house or
says,
a haunted amusement park
first. He says
first.
It's too early. We can't split up until we get to a haunted amusement park or a terrifying cavern.
That's a great line. I like that.
But they just
very self-referential. But Shaggy and Velma are both, or Daphne both say, no, splitting up is a good idea. Let's split up. And Daphne's,
well,
she's not about this mystery.
When Velma
she's
says
about
it,
self-care.
When Velma,
with Velma
says it, she's like, I think she means split up the gang. Whereas Daphne just means she needs time alone with Velma.
Right.
So things ain't looking too good.
Well, so the girls are going to go get pedicures, and the guys are going to, which,
I'd
mean.
I'd rather do that.
I'd rather do that, too. But that's
especially for this mystery.
That's a good, I think Daphne's in the right mindset right now. Like, this is not mystery time. This is gal pal time. Like, we're going to
make
you
that.
Feel better.
Maybe just say that.
She should have just said that, yeah. But the boys are going to go mysterying.
They are going to go mysterying, and they end up at a blood bank.
Scooby and Shaggy want to go get food, obviously.
The clam shack.
And the pizza pail.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, weird name for a pizza place.
Pail.
Yeah, I don't
especially
want pizza
there.
In a bucket, yeah. Huh. Pizza pan, pizza plates, pizza palace. I'd eat at any of these places. Pizza pail, not so much.
No one want pizza.
And they...
loud.
Shaggy makes a big deal about being able to ride shotgun.
Yes.
In the van, which is funny.
He's so excited, and Fred's like, yeah, it's weird not having the girls with us. And he's like, no, I get to sit shotgun for the first time. Scooby has the whole back to himself, so they're both happy.
Playing with the radio, they're rocking out.
They
want to go
with
get
the
food,
radio.
And Fred's like, how about the graveyard? And like, ugh, fine, Fred.
But they end up at the blood bank.
Yes, because that's a good place to go if there's a vampire in town. Like, that makes sense.
But Fred comes out of the blood bank covered in blood. Well, they think it's blood. But
red, something red all over his shirt. From like his nose
here
down.
To here, just red. And they're like, ah, is it blood?
What happened?
He's like, no,
I spilled my juice box
it's
all
red,
over myself.
It's
they have them hanging
yeah,
all over the
red,
place in
red
there.
Punch juice boxes that just hang out. So it is blood.
So
he literally
grabbed the blood bag and started drinking it and then spilled it all over himself in the blood bank. If ever there was a time for Sheriff Stone to pop up and actually arrest them, now would be the time.
It's a great picture.
It is. It is a very funny visual. And he
super,
tries to clean
yeah.
himself off, and he just gets
there's
it
more
even
blood
more
all
over
himself. The place.
Yeah.
And Shaggy and Scooby still only want food.
Yeah.
Which
well,
I'm getting kind of hungry too, talking about pizza pails and things. So.
Pizza Palace.
Pizza Palace.
Yeah.
All right. Daphne and Velma are still at the Blake's house, and they're
doing their mani-pedi.
Mani-pedis and talking about how stupid boys are.
Boys are
true,
stupid. Yeah.
True.
was Velma or Daphne saying, you know, if you give a boy two choices, a good choice and a bad choice, he'll always pick the bad choice. He'll always make the stupid decision. So that's why you just don't give them a choice. And Velma's like, that's depressing. And Daphne's like, yeah, it is.
But
boys sure do look cute in ascots. So what are you going to do?
And boys do make bad choices.
Yeah, no, it's all valid points. All about boys make bad decisions. Don't give them choices. Make them wear ascots. All makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good thing you're pretty. Sorry. I apologize for airing our dirty laundry on this video podcast. Daphne and Velma is concerned why Daphne's mom is leaving so late at night.
Oh, she kind of sneaks out.
She's trying to sneak
out. Yeah.
And for a woman who's very high fashion, she never changes her clothes.
But, I mean, when your outfit is that good, why would you? If I had an outfit like Nan does. Yeah, the big floppy hat, the color matching
the Real Housewives of Crystal Cove outfit.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah, nails it. She looks great. And then, she puts on a big trench coat and sneaks out.
What's she going to go get?
We don't know. Oh, what does she say? Oh, that's right. They confront her, and she's like, oh, I'm going out to get pâté.
Pâté.
They're out of pâté at the palace. No. And Daphne is like, wait a minute.
Do you understand the pâté reference?
I mean, I know what pâté is.
I believe they're trying to do a reference to the movie Heathers.
Oh, okay.
Where they eat lots of pâté. Hey, is that pâté? So I'm thinking.
Nan is very Heathers-y. Yeah.
But yes.
A bit Stepford-y, even. Yeah.
But you're right. Daphne realizes one thing about her mom.
My mom's duck intolerant. Gives her the line?
Squeakers. Gives her the squeakers real bad.
which is my new absolute favorite slang squeakers. Term for, that's
she's duck
hilarious.
Intolerant. That sounds racist.
Well, this whole family has weird medical issues. Like Daphne's, she's allergic to shellfish and synthetic fabrics.
Yes, synthetic gators.
Mom can't have duck. Very first world allergies. Yeah, that they have.
Well, they can afford them.
Yeah.
Which
also, I don't think pâté doesn't have to be duck. I don't think. I don't know a lot.
Have you ever had pâté?
I have. And I thought it
was. Daniel, have you had pâté?
I thought it was more of a catch-all for that kind of ground.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound. It doesn't look or sound good.
Basically, you have to. I don't know pâté. I grew up right here in this neighborhood. This is not a neighborhood pâté. This is not a pâté neighborhood.
This is not a neighborhood pâté.
This is not a pâté kind of place.
Yeah.
Sure.
This is.
But, I mean, I don't know. Any kind of spreadable meat product is questionable to me. I'll try it. I'll try anything. But it was not my favorite. like foie gras or something. Like,
oh. Yeah. The spreadable meat products. Anyway, both groups end up at the Botanical Garden.
Which is a really cool, spooky looking greenhouse.
Everything in that,
I know.
Everything in that town, the botanical garden's super huge. Poison Ivy would love to go there.
Oh, it absolutely looks like straight out of Gotham. Yeah.
And Fred sets a net trap, which you loved.
Oh, I really like that the counterweight for his net trap is a giant old timey boat anchor.
A big anchor.
That they somehow lugged into this greenhouse.
And he had it in the back of the mystery machine.
Right. Well,
because he got it at where?
Don't leave home without. Oh, Trap Smart.
Trap Smart.
Was it Trap Smart or Traps or Us?
I think it's Trap Smart.
I think it's Trap Smart.
Traps Smart. Or is it Trap Smart? I don't know.
It's up to you.
We know he gets Traps Weekly magazine, so.
And he's got, he says he has a club card, a discount card at Trap Smart.
And there's a dummy. He had a dummy that he sat for the trap that was in the back as well, who was not Harry, by the way. The dummy that we've already established.
I thought it was just a chair.
No, there's a little doll.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Like a counterweight.
And
for
they
it.
And they bait the trap with a steak.
Yeah.
Raw steak that Fred's very, that's a.
He's super excited about this steak.
Perfectly marbled porterhouse. No vampire would be able to resist. Vampires don't eat steak.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
And even if you thought it was.
Steak sounds a lot like steak, which
yeah,
you know, the
steak
thing that they're
them,
afraid
yeah.
of. Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's raw. So it's like a bloody steak. Exactly. Exactly. I guess this does go point towards like, despite the fact that most of his traps seem to work when we see them, they all make fun of him for being a not great trap maker. So maybe this is
true.
Maybe he doesn't know how bait works.
Someone who loves that idea, though, is Scooby, because it's a steak.
Because it's a steak, yeah, and they're hungry.
Yeah, because they haven't had anything to eat. Well, they set the trap, and of course they don't catch the vampire.
Nope.
Who do they catch?
Daphne and Velma.
Jinkies.
Because I guess they wanted a steak?
Maybe.
I don't know. They just kind of wander into the net.
You think Velma would be a vegetarian? I think she's probably...
I would think they both would. They both kind of seem the type, yeah.
And then, of course, the vampire shows up.
Of course, yeah.
Doing parkour around the botanical gardens.
Flipping around, being all live long day. Swoopy, nambly-pambly.
And steals a very rare orchid.
Well, they don't even know what the vampire is after.
What it's doing there.
And it isn't until after the vampire has disappeared and they get the girls out of the trap and everything that the groundskeeper shows up, finally, trying to see what all the ruckus is about.
The groundskeeper is like, not a suspect.
Must star orchid or something? Yeah, is that what it's called?
It's this rare star orchid.
Yeah.
This is the one time in Scooby history that a groundskeeper gardener is not a suspect.
Yeah, he's good point. There. He's just there.
He's just minding his business at night.
He's just making an honest living.
Yeah, at night, though.
Well, I mean, someone's got to watch the plants at night.
That'll be your new job once we get a new co-host.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, star orchid is gone. So there's another clue. Why do you need a painting and an orchid if you're a vampire?
Huh? They both seem like very vampire-y interior decorating choices. Like, if I were a vampire, I'd want spooky paintings and creepy flowers. I don't know. I'm just trying to come up. We don't have a motive yet.
The spooky painting makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess. Are orchids good with the undead?
They require a lot of effort and upkeep.
Yeah, they do.
I could see like a vampire being very like, you know, obsessively trimming the flowers and like growing weird orchids and breeding flowers and stuff. That seems like a vampire-y kind of pastime.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Or dating ritual. The gang decide they're going to go to Velma's mom's place, the spooky museum, to find clues on vampires.
Ask Velma's mom, which finally they start using this resource.
Because they don't have the internet.
Well, okay, would you rather wade through the Wikipedia article on, like, crappy teen vampire movies?
Did you show a picture of the...
Or go talk to this, like, super creepy occult lady.
They're seeing a picture of the occult.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's great.
And I think it's called The Broken Spine, I want to say, the bookshop.
Can you read what it says, Daniel?
Was it this episode? At one point...
As far as I can tell, it says The Crystal Cove Spooky Museum.
Maybe it's a different episode, because I thought that was a great name. They're in some spooky bookshop at one point called The Broken Spine. Anyways... Back to the occult store.
They're looking for books on vampires, and Velma's mom is arguing with someone on the phone about something coming from Skull Island. She ordered Sumatran rat monkeys from Skull Island. And if you don't know what Sumatran rat monkeys are,
I do not.
You may know them from the movie Dead Alive, the New Zealand classic.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, I love that movie.
That causes...
and that's the start of the zombie outbreak in that movie. Amazing.
Yeah.
That is a great reference.
And apparently, at least they didn't send King Kong from Skull Island.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I got the Skull Island reference. Did they get the Sumatran rat monkey from Skull Island in Dead Alive?
I don't think so.
Or a Skull Island.
Let us know if you're a fan of that.
Peter Jackson's first film, by the way, went on to do Lord of the Rings. It's
pretty nasty.
I mean, it's amazing, but terrible. Like, it's one of those movies that's so bad, it's phenomenal. It's super gory, super
If you grew up in, like,
the
80s and 90s, when you go to the video store, it had the girls like Alicia Silverstone pulling her mouth open with, like, a zombie inside.
With, like, a zombie, like, inside her mouth, and it has nothing to do with the actual movie. Yeah.
Good cover. Traumatic movie for
Great
me anyway.
Movie.
Anyway, so they're looking for anything about vampires, and mom points them to this whole bookshelf because she has more info on vampires than anybody. So
you'd
that's
think,
probably
yeah, I was gonna say you'd think she'd have a whole section. Yeah,
once again, like Buffy, like Giles' library.
Yes,
you know, just go there and do research. Daphne is the only one who hears something. and she sees something in the distance, and she goes to check it out, and this book keeps falling off a shelf, and she keeps putting it back and says, "This book just doesn't want to stay on the shelf." And the guy's like, "Oh my God!"
There's a guy on the other side of the shelf, like pushing the book. He's like, just "Open it, pick it up."
And then she opens it up finally because the Mr. E or someone tells her to open it up. And it's
there's a magazine inside.
There's a magazine inside the book, which is a weird place to keep a magazine. And it has Celebrity Weekly, which
pretty nondescript.
An old issue of Celebrity Weekly from the 70s or 80s. It's their Halloween issue, and it has Countess Hagula's Youth Juice. That's Countess Hagula's Youth Juice, available at Trader Joe's. And two of the ingredients, one is a spooky painting, and the other is a rare orchid.
I don't know how the painting is an ingredient.
Yeah.
Like an orchid, I get. You could crush up the petals or the leaves or whatever. But, like, okay, sure.
I'll post the formula online so you can, because they actually, if you pause it, because I did, you can read the magazine. They actually wrote a magazine article.
Yeah, it's actually all written out. It's not just squiggly lines.
It's not just the same word over and over again.
Or Lorem Ipsum or something. It's an actual thing, which is fun.
There's a whole other. I'll just show this, and we can see this. You can see there's a whole article, and there's a whole counter story on the other side about someone shifty at a party.
Nice.
But now they know. That someone's trying to create this youth serum.
Yeah, so
the secret serum.
So they have like a shopping list of what's going to get.
Secret serum.
What?
I was plugging the title.
Secret serum. Yeah, it's the name of the episode. We finally got there.
So
it was awesome. A cursed skincare routine.
Yeah. The next ingredient is a rare vintage wine.
Yes.
You know a lot about wine, Chris.
I know a passable amount about wine. What do they call it? I forget what the wine. Do we have the vintage?
I don't think she mentions the vintage, but we'll post it and you can see. You can tell me if it's real or not.
Sure.
But Velma says it can only be found at one place in Crystal Cove.
Yeah, there's only one
wine cellar
restaurant that would have a big enough wine cellar to hold a bottle like this.
And do you know what it is, Producer Daniel?
No clue. What do you? No. Not
awesome. It is a restaurant called the Crab Net of Dr. Calamari.
Ah, so and we good. Actually have a picture for everybody.
Do
for
we?
That one. Yes, sir. Awesome. Showing it to them right now with the reference for the Crab Net. You want to tell them what the reference is?
Did you? All right. First off, did you understand the reference?
Yeah.
When you?
Of
when
course.
Of course.
Of course.
This. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going to be all indignant about it this time. It's the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
What is
Calamari.
That?
It's a classic horror film.
One of the very first horror films.
Yeah, one of the very first horror films. It's kind of a Faustian kind of tale about a cabinet full of demons and forbidden knowledge.
A Faustian tale.
Yeah.
You're a Faustian tale.
I wish. But I just want to live in
a
world or a
where
town where the finest restaurant in town has a name like the Crab Net of Dr. Calamari. Like, that's so good.
And if you see
that's
a picture of it,
a great name for a restaurant.
The restaurant's not that nice looking.
No, it looks a little bit
like... It looks
like
a Sea Galley, which is a restaurant from Seattle.
I mean, it looks like the restaurant you would find at the wharf.
Yeah.
Any wharf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a big crab. You saw it.
But
and
like
they're
we
all
got
dressed,
the bloody steak, we got the crab net of Dr. Calamari. It's so
they say
good.
They have to dress up to go there, and their version of dressing up is like French mimes, because they all have striped shirts and berets and fake mustaches.
Oh, that's right. I forget why they decided to go. Because
you have to dress
it's a
up
French,
to go
French
there.
French restaurants.
Yeah, Daphne says they won't let us in unless we dress up, and they're all dressed
up.
Oh,
that's their idea of fancy,
yeah.
and they put on like really
mustaches.
Horrible fake French accents.
Oui,
oui, oui.
And of course, it leads to a pee so joke because Shaggy has to pee. Even Scooby has a little French beret on.
They're all holding baguettes.
And the maitre d' callback to Ferris Bueller's Day Off was looks just like the maitre d' at the fancy restaurant that won't let him in, and they call him and sausage Abe Froman the Sausage King.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a cute callback, which I love. What are you doing over there, Daniel?
The whole scene's pretty cute. But the wine cellar is very impressive and super creepy too. It's like it's a whole cave under the restaurant.
Well, you know, there's lots of caves under there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And
in the wine cellar, of course, is the vampire. They run into the vampire again.
But who else is at the restaurant?
Oh, who else was in the restaurant?
Nan and Sheila.
Oh, that's right.
Nan and Sheila. So they're convinced at this point that Daphne's mom is the vampire.
Right.
But Daphne's not, but everyone else is. Even Sheriff Stone.
Well, at one point Daphne even is like, I hope my mom isn't the vampire. Like, she'd just be crushed.
So
no one suspects her, like, super creepy friend.
Sheila?
We haven't talked about how creepy Sheila is.
We haven't
right
even shown Sheila yet, have we? I think it's a good time to show what Sheila looks like. If you imagine a very wet Cher, she looks like a wet Cher from the 60s.
She does.
Now, if I show Sheila, I'm going to also show
that's fine.
Who voices her.
That's good for me.
So Sheila, go ahead and let them know who
is voiced by
the amazing Beverly D'Angelo, who, if you don't know, was in the Vacation movies and lots of comedies, 70s, 80s, and today. She voices Sheila. And if you remember,
that's a solid get.
We've seen the Griswolds already at Gaithersburg.
Oh, and we saw Beverly, but she didn't get a line.
She did.
Oh, no, she did get a line, but it wasn't voiced by Beverly. Wasn't that it?
I think it was.
Was it?
But
really?
We get her back anyway. Or for the first time.
Apparently, I've never seen this
show
before.
Research
I know nothing,
here.
So.
Nope, guess not.
Also, he's got the notes, so.
Well, they took time to make them.
Someone had to.
Yeah, it's true. damn it. So they're at the restaurant in the basement. The vampire shows up, gets the wine, and Fred has a great idea to hide in the cellar in a locked cage.
Oh, yeah, they lock themselves in.
They lock themselves
on
in.
On accident, trying to get away from the vampire.
And the vampire has the key to it and locks them in there.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Well, at least they're safe. Safety first.
Yes.
Yeah.
The kids worry about safety.
They should.
Lest you remember the last episode when they ran into the steelworks factory with all the machinery. The abandoned steelworks factory.
I mean,
tetanus.
That just sounds fun.
Tetanus shot.
Urban exploration.
Hmm. You would. Now, the next item, the final item on the list, is a cursed ruby. Any ruby, really, as long as it's cursed.
I mean, any good ruby is going to be cursed,
Ruby
right?
Tuesdays.
Oh, God, I hope they're cursed.
Well, their food is. yes. Yes. Were you showing a picture of the ruby? It's called the Devil's Eye, by the way.
Any cursed gemstone with a name, that's going to be a good time. That's cool.
Now, do you know...
Like the Hope Diamond?
I hope for it too. Now, do you know where the Devil's Eye jewel comes from?
The Congo? I don't know where rubies come from. The ground?
I meant the specific name, the Devil's Eye.
Oh. No.
Good. Because I'm going to tell you.
Please do.
If you want to log into my Disney Plus account,
I do,
which you do already.
Uh-huh.
You can watch the movie The Rescuers.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the name of the jewel in that movie,
okay,
too.
I did not.
The Devil's Eye.
I forgot that. I love that movie. It's been a long time, but it's a good one. It's one of my favorites from childhood.
It's not mine.
No?
I saw it at a birthday party when I was maybe 5, mm-hmm. and I remember eating too much cake, and I threw up.
Oh.
So The Rescuers reminds me of throwing up.
What about The Rescuers Down Under?
I didn't see that one because of the...
You haven't seen that?
The first one traumatized
so
me so much with the throwing up of the cake.
I really like the dragonfly who like pushes him around on the boat. All was right. always my brother's favorite
Was John
character.
Candy in the first Rescuers? Because he was in the second one and he made the movie.
Don't remember John Candy being
well,
in the
sir,
Rescuers.
You got to watch Rescuers Down Under. John Candy?
It's
wonderful.
It's
voice.
So good. It's so good.
Okay.
But the dragonfly who's like pushes them around the boat, his name's Evan Rude, and neither my brother nor I like put that together of the Evan Rude boat engine manufacturer until we were like like full on adults. It's a great reference.
And I just did it now.
Yeah.
So thanks for that because nobody knows Evan Root Boats.
Yeah.
Except for like five people.
Well, I didn't until like I was an adult.
If you're watching this show, you probably like knowing that kind of stuff.
Fred would know.
Fred would know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Cursed Ruby. And the Cursed Ruby is at the Crystal Cove Museum of Oddities.
Of course it is.
Which has to be a pretty freaky place. In the background, there are so many weird statues and things. I'm sure they're all references to
various,
crazy things.
And it's like a traveling exhibit. The Ruby just happens to be in town, too, I feel.
You see. It's all coming together, man. You know? When it's right, it's right. You expect Catwoman to show up and steal the Ruby. It's like in any Batman story when there's like a cat jewel. It seems like Gotham City has an overabundance of cat. Yeah. The cat's paw, the cat's nail.
The cat's tail.
The cat's sapphire. Gallbladder, sapphire. It seems like Gotham is riddled with, I mean, you take him to a new town. Take it to Metropolis.
I don't know why anyone sends anything of value to Gotham ever.
Maybe for the insurance.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Actually, that's a good plan.
Yeah. Look into that. They found the Ruby. They're setting a trap because that's what they do.
Of course,
Mystery Incorporated. They set a trap, and Scooby-Doo manages to help them because, of course, it doesn't go right. And there's ropes and pulleys involved, and Scooby has to end up biting the rope. And
it's one of Fred's misfires. This trap does not go well.
But Daphne is now convinced that it's her mom, so she's going to stake her. She's going to stake the vampire?
Yeah, she's convinced not only is her mom the vampire thief, but the vampire thief is a real vampire.
Yes.
Her mom's a real vampire. I have to kill my undead mother.
Yes. And she's about
to kill
stake
my undead
her.
Mother coming next season on Fox. Yeah.
And she's, no, I'm not a real vampire. And we find out that...
Let's see who it really is.
Who is it?
It's the creepy friend voiced by Beverly D'Angelo named...
Sheila.
Yeah, it's Sheila, guys.
It's Sheila. By the way, her full name is Sheila Altunian. So she is Armenian, which is more credence to why she looks like Cher. Cher is also Armenian.
Didn't know that.
For those of you who don't know,
there you go.
Sherilyn Sarkeesian is her birth name.
Oh.
So I definitely believe this character is an homage, especially when we find out the reasoning for said caper. Sheila envies Nan because Nan Blake has flawless skin, has aged beautifully, as most Hanna-Barbera characters don't.
True.
But Sheila is the same age. And
Sheila's not looking bad.
And Fred says, your skin is as tight as my ascot.
So weird. That's a weird compliment
it's
to your
compliment.
Girlfriend's mom.
And each time they see her, they're like afraid of her, like, ah. And they're like, oh, no, you're great. They're all, you know, muddled, you know, things together. Oh, you're fine. Oh, it's all skincare, blah, blah, blah. And once again, has to be based on Cher.
But, like, this woman, if you're running in the same circles as Nan, like, you got to have money.
Well, they tell her, why don't you try, like, lotion and moisturizer?
Or, like, plastic surgery or, I mean, there's a lot of options for this kind of thing, right? But she finds a gag article in a 1970s celebrity tabloid for a like fake fountain of youth thing, and it's like that is how I get rid of the wrinkles, that is how I look better than Nan. Like,
this is
weird choice, Sheila.
This kind of lends credence to my thinking that Crystal Cove itself is haunted and it makes people make bad choices. Like,
have
Steven,
we talked about this theory?
Not really, but like it's
like
Stephen
idea.
King like,
because like the Hellmouth.
Like the Hellmouth.
So like kind of that energy.
In Buffy, but like there's something there that makes people just do the dumbest things.
I like that.
So, and that's what I'm sticking to. We find out that Sheila propelled herself into the air with her strong leg muscles because I guess she was a gymnast.
Girl's been doing Pilates.
And she studied flying squirrels.
Oh, yeah. She's... she was a...
to give the illusion of true flight.
Like a college gymnast and... zoologist specializing in flying squirrels. So managed to like emulate flying squirrels and built herself a flying squirrel suit, which is a much better accomplishment than flawless skin.
Right. Like, and know who else studied flying squirrels in a movie?
Squirrel Girl?
Demi Moore in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, one of my favorites. She literally does the same thing. She has a flying squirrel outfit and she jumps off the top of one of the LA hotels.
I remember the like the squirrel suit scene, but I don't remember her saying she studied flying squirrels.
Yeah, that was part of her backstory.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes.
That's
Madison Lee. That's so by the way, Charlie's Angels, the new Charlie's Angels film, is in theaters now.
I'm just plugging all kinds of random
You should
stuff.
Go see it, everybody.
He's a big fan.
I'm a big fan.
We'll go see that one.
We will.
I am.
It opened today. That's why I'm not there.
Super optimistic.
You're terrible.
I think it'll be fun. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Terrible. We'll see.
It's going to be great.
Sure.
When has Kristen Stewart ever went wrong with a film?
Don't get me started on Kristen
never.
Stewart.
Not mixed ever, feelings. Not once. Not
I kind of love her, but not necessarily her choices.
Choices. She'd be a good Scooby-Doo villain.
She'd be a great Scooby-Doo villain, actually. Yeah.
It's Kristen Stewart.
I would like to see her in more like bad guy roles, actually. I think she could be a great villain. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
just Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart. Yeah. It's me. Just
like I didn't wash my hair. Sorry.
If you're listening, Kristen, which I know you're not.
I'm sure.
Please contact the producers of Scooby-Doo. And well, then, okay, the new cartoon that's on right now where there's
Scooby-Doo
like a guest.
Scooby-Doo and Guess Who?
Yeah, Scooby-Doo and Guess Who. She could be on that.
This week
like,
it's Kristen Stewart. Now, if that doesn't happen, let down.
K-Stew. I'm into it. She did a great job on Saturday Night Live the other week, a couple
did
weeks
we
ago. However,
the same episode?
I liked her. I thought she was fun. All right.
Cool. Yeah,
whatever.
And then back to the episode, Daphne's mom shows up and I don't know why she's at the museum. She's at the museum at night after it's closed, even though they've already captured.
She's sitting at home with her CB radio, listening to the police
her
band.
CB radio?
Yeah, she hears
no.
that. Like,
she says that she's going to school to be a notary, which is why she's been sneaking around.
That's right. Oh, good for her. She's trying to better herself.
But why would she be at the museum at night?
That's where all the hot notary action happens. You got to notarize those exhibits, man.
What does a notary do?
You stamp papers.
I guess a museum could use stamps.
They've got
papers.
A lot of papers and a lot of stamps.
But she has a final the next day, so I don't know why she's not studying. But not a good role model.
Because she's got it in the bag.
I guess she could just pay for it. Pay for a degree.
The joke
right,
here is that getting
lady.
Your notary certification or whatever, I don't think is really that difficult. Like, she's not taking night classes to get her nursing.
If you're a notary person watching this, please let us know what you do and how hard it was to be said notary person. After the case is solved, this breathtaking case, Mystery Incorporated decided to go their separate ways.
So we've kind of glossed over the like snarky
as often we do.
They're very snarky to each other throughout this whole episode. The Velma Shaggy dynamic we touched on at the beginning. It strained the entire episode. She keeps
my roommates
weird...
are trying to sneak around.
Yeah, it's okay, guys.
I told them we'd be podcasting. They didn't. I don't think they knew we'd be filming.
Well,
surprise!
Too late now.
Yeah.
But the Velma like, kind of goes between like weird hitting on Shaggy and being mean to him. Shaggy's just not all about it. Fred keeps being a cad and a jerk and saying the wrong things.
Fred
Daphne,
the cad.
Daphne's just kind of over it. She doesn't know what to do. She's just trying to be a supportive friend.
Her mom's a vampire.
Her mom's
Give
a
her
vampire.
A
she's got stuff on her own plate
and a notary.
It's just all kind of weird. And at the very end of the episode, yeah, they're like, well, maybe this is the end of Mystery Inc. They're just throwing in the towel. They had a they successfully
they
unmasked the vampire.
They had a good run.
Like, what's wrong, guys? Just
they're teenagers.
Hash it out.
They're teenagers, man. Yeah. They're going through some stuff. They're going through it.
I never just, like, decided I wasn't going to be friends with my friends in high school, though.
You didn't?
No.
I was doing it wrong. All right. Well, they basically each go their separate ways.
Yeah.
Like
they
walk away
directions.
Even though they all came in the Mystery Machine, but they're all walking separate directions.
I don't think Crystal Cove is that big a town. You can walk home,
I guess. Yeah. Mr. E,
except for Scooby and Shaggy,
right?
Yeah,
Mr. E's butler. I don't know what he is. His servant guy is
manservant
watching with binoculars, and he's very angry that they're all. Splitting up.
Yeah.
But why would he be angry?
Because they have a mystery to solve.
I know. They don't care about that. That mystery has been swept under Crystal Cove.
So we don't really get any, like, anything furthering that mystery, but it does further the overall plot of their
even though
dynamic kind of breaking
he tried
up
to get
whatever.
Them to solve. He gave them a clue about the, you know, the real hero of the show is Mr. E. He's the one that solves all the mysteries for them.
Well, he's the one. Yeah, he's the
he
one
gave
driving
them,
this whole thing.
He gave them the magazine and all that stuff. Yeah. How does he know?
Did he give
does
them?
Does he set them up? Is he the one that's setting these people up to do these things?
Maybe he's the
is
one
he
who's
pushing
making
them?
The mechanical crab suits and the,
maybe
you
he's,
know, yeah, maybe
he's behind it all.
He's like Edna Moding this whole thing from behind the scenes.
Yes, maybe. Edna Mode, end guest. All right, so that is the end of the episode. Thankfully, I did not care for this episode
too much. This one was a bit
much.
Of a slog to get through.
It had great writing, good zingers, good one-liners.
It had some good one-liners. It had some good references, Mama Cass, Don Knotts, Beverly D'Angelo voicing the bad guy. That was all
but it
great.
Was...
And, I don't know, this is one of the rare cases of the sum of its parts was less than each individual piece. It just it never really it didn't hang together.
It
very
seemed
well.
Too much like a basic Scooby-Doo episode. Like,
yeah, I think
basic.
the cardinal sin of being kind of boring too. It wasn't super exciting. The previous episode being so good, and also like I mean I know that we had to get these scenes to drive the story forward, and you know they have to split up so they can come back together. But I don't like seeing them fight. I don't like them not being friends. I don't like this breakup thing. I don't like Velma being mean to Shaggy. I don't like Shaggy not knowing what to do. I don't like Fred being a jerk to everyone all the time for no reason. I want them to be friends.
It's okay, pal.
I like when they're working together against a bad guy, not when they're fighting their own internal bad guys. Oh, too much.
Thanks. Dr. Chris. Thanks, Dr. Christopher.
Yeah,
Dr. Puppy.
Come on, guys. We got bigger fish to fry.
Literally.
There's missing children. There's an evil Udo Kier bird. There's so much going on.
Mr. Professor Pericles is out
there.
Yeah,
Yogi
Bear is in restraints.
Bundle them up. Put them over there. They'll still be there when you get back. Trust and believe. Your problems won't just go away. But...
This is turning into an advice show all of a sudden.
Well, they clearly need some advice at this point.
Now.
They need me coming in to tell them, like, come on, guys. Just...
It's a cartoon. We judge our episodes on a paw rating with 4 paws possible, 4 being the best, 1 being not so much the best.
0 being some other show.
Yeah, 0 being Adventure Time. Now, what say you, Christopher?
1 paw.
Wow.
1. This is my least favorite episode so far.
We've
I don't
never
like
had
them
a
fighting.
We've
I
never
like
had
fighting.
A one paw.
Well, we also have to have a range, too.
That's
like,
true.
We got to calibrate this scale. So
it's,
we've already
no,
had a 4.
No,
we've had
fine.
A 4.
It's fine.
I just... All right.
I gave it 2 paws.
Okay.
I've never... I didn't feel...
Where'd that second paw come from for you?
The second paw was because of the one-liners. I think it was... I think they had fun writing the one-liners and... Fred covered in blood. Fred covered in blood that he thinks is fruit punch.
There were moments.
One of my favorite visual gags ever in the show. Now, a few things. Let's see. See if we've covered everything. Oh, the auctioneer in the beginning. The auctioneer, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He is a parody of David Dickinson.
Okay.
He is an English antiques expert. Like a road antiques roadshow.
I was
type
gonna say,
guy.
If he isn't on Antiques Roadshow, I don't know him.
Well,
love that show.
He's a British guy.
Sure,
British dude, and he was voiced by the same guy that does. What's his button? Animaniacs, the one who talks like this.
Wacko, Yakko, or Dot?
Not Dot. Yakko or Wacko.
That's Wacko.
Thank you. Disembodied voice of producer Daniel. You're like our Madame Leota. I just want you in a crystal ball.
Oh, man. Can we get a crystal ball with his head floating in it? That'd be great.
We could arrange it.
Or you'd be like Jambi.
I'm okay with that, too.
Just showing up. Oh, he could be like Vincent Price in the crystal ball. Oh, Vincent Van Gool. Yep.
No, I don't think so.
We're going to make that happen. We're going to make that happen, everybody.
Oh, beautiful.
Let's see. Caligari, we covered that.
Calamari. Oh my god.
Rat monkeys
so
from
good.
Skull Island. Sure.
I can't. Yeah, I'm that. Oh man. Maybe that is worth a tail, if not a whole other paw. I forgot about that reference. That's tail. Really good.
A clip. Yeah. One claw.
One docked tail.
Oh,
I know. It's terrible. Don't do that to your puppies.
Did you see the picture of the puppy with the tail coming out of
his
forehead?
Oh, forehead puppy tail dog. Yeah. Weird.
There was a guy. There was a dog that I saw on the interwebs that had a tail growing out of its forehead that was abandoned in the cold, and now he's a sensation.
His name is Narwhal.
It is Narwhal because he has
which is adorable.
And the tail doesn't wag.
He's okay now though, because now that he's an internet star, everyone wants to adopt him. But
they're not removing the tail. But if the tail wagged, I'd be freaked out.
That would be.
I'd kind of throw
a lot. That'd be weird.
But just the tail being there,
he's really cute though.
Is very cute. Do you have that picture, Producer Daniel? No.
It's not his fault.
We didn't tell him.
No, I wasn't thinking we were going to talk about a tail-headed dog today.
Well, mistake number two.
It's preparation is key here.
Right. We're also looking for a new producer for the Mystery Machine Diaries, so fill in our DMs and
zoinks!
Be you people up here instead of us.
We'll just get some special guest stars to fill in once in a while.
Kristen Stewart.
Oh, my God. Kristen, please be on our podcast.
I could just get a wig that I didn't wash for a month.
Rude, but also
I'm
pretty
Kristen
funny.
Oh my
God.
On that note, everyone, we are going to get back in the Mystery Machine. Hopefully you enjoyed seeing us.
Let us know if this was a step too far or if you enjoyed it.
I'm not the fat guy from This Is Us. I do get that a lot.
As much as he wants to be.
I know, I'd love to be. He's kind of hot.
Well, he's probably making decent money, too. Yeah, the show's doing well.
Be a stand-in.
You should.
Oh, that's good money.
What's that? That's where you
just
help with the blocking, right?
Yeah, you just stand there.
You just stand there until they go to the shot.
For all you folks out there that know what that does.
Hollywood jargon.
That's us. You stand there while they adjust the lights because the actor doesn't want to be bothered with that because they're getting their hair and makeup done. And you're standing there so they can get the camera ready and the lights, and they put tape on the ground so the actor
you
gotta
be in the right
spot
where to go. And the right, roughly the same size and shape. Yeah.
The same shape as the actor, same facial hair, same height helps. And that's what a stand-in does.
That sounds like a cool job.
It is. Everyone I know who does it, they don't ever give it up because it's so much money.
Yeah, it sounds fun and you get paid pretty decently.
Yeah. So,
or if not fun, easy at least.
I do
you
like
literally
easy.
Stand there.
Speaking of easy, that was Chris. good one. Producer Daniel, he's out there. He's smiling. He's not saying anything.
He's
gonna
sign
off
like
he was.
No, it's okay. It's fine.
I miss my soundboard. I like to communicate through soundboard. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Are you pushing sound buttons?
I am.
Oh, okay.
Throughout the entire show, you haven't heard any of them.
Excellent.
We have no idea if he's been doing sound effects, everybody. Thank you so much. Please subscribe. Please tell more people about us.
Yes, please. Thanks for coming on this journey with us.
Weird experiment.
Whatever this video thing that we're doing is.
Hopefully it'll get more polish. We're wrapping it up. Goodbye, everybody. Our pleasant dreams.
Thanks, guys.